reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, my dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
Thank you. When Richard started this series, ABC of Church membership, he began with some words from Acts chapter 2, 42 about the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. It's kind of an interesting that this morning that we have been engaged in devoting ourselves to all of those activities. And we've heard the word of God, the apostles' teaching. We've spent time together, we've broken bread together, and we've prayed together. And those are four really important platforms for being part of the church. Prayer is always something that we reckon to be important, that we want to value, but prayer is often the thing that we most easily neglect and forget. It sometimes is a little bit of a secret work, particularly our private praying, and therefore we speak well of it, but often we don't do much of it. Everyone thinks it's essential, but it is one of the things that gets jettisoned very quickly when things are busy. Shows that I was in America. Oh, we're stuck again. Is this a feature? Maybe we can move on to the next one if we can, or are we totally stuck? Yeah, okay, we're good. Yeah, so pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in all your prayers for all believers everywhere. Very comprehensive statement about what it means to pray. Sorry about the American spelling on this. If we get to the next one, we're still stuck again. You have to be alert and very alert. That's in there, isn't it? Okay, we're stuck. Corrie ten Boom said, "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire?" That's not the one, is it? Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? interesting question, because obviously a steering wheel is what you use all of the time to navigate you through life, to make sure that you go the right way, that you don't go off track. A spare wheel is something which is very, very important, but it's only really important if you've got a puncture on one of the tyres that you have. Probably, I don't know, who has used a spare wheel in the last year? Yeah, okay. Not that many people. Who's used a steering wheel in the last year? Yeah, kind of everybody who's been driving recently. Sorry, it's an American spelling to tyre, but I spent so much time on the other side of the Atlantic, obviously it's rubbing off. In prayer, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tyre? Is it something that governs your thinking about what's central to your life, every day about your life, or is it something which is a break glass in case of emergency type of thing? Prayer for the apostle was really central. So he says, and pray. Now, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he has prayed for the Ephesian church in chapter 1 and chapter 3. There's a sense in which the whole letter breathes with prayer. Paul said things to God and then said things to people. He prayed about what he was going to say, and he prayed for the people that he was going to speak to. And now, here at the end of Ephesians 6, he says, part of being the church, part of being the temple of God, the bride of Christ, the army of God, is that you pray. In fact, there's very little purpose in being an army if you're not in communication with the commander. One of the great military tragedies of our history was the March of the Light Brigade, the Charge of the Light Brigade, rather, where people were equipped, but the communication was not in place. The communication did not come accurately, and the charge took place, and instead of expecting an engagement with horses and men, there was an engagement with heavy guns and a disastrous defeat. An army that seeks to be faithful for God, to engage the enemy, the evil one, needs to be in communication with its commander. And prayer is one of the ways that we stay in touch with the commander. To pray is to act naturally. It is the natural breath of the Christian. It is what ought to come naturally. I need to talk to Father about this. I need to talk to my dad about this. I need to talk to my father about this. It's something that comes naturally. We live in our Father's world. We seek to serve him. We live in the Christian church. We are followers of Jesus Christ. He is the head. And therefore, it's a natural thing to share our concerns and our joys with the Father. Now, it remains a bit of a mystery how prayer actually works. It's a crazy kind of thing, isn't it? That we face things on the horizontal level and we speak to God at a vertical level. We see things that are visible and tangible, and we speak to an invisible person, and somehow this invisible person works through this mysterious means of prayer to bring about resolution, to bring about peace with God, and sometimes results that blow us away. It's quite plain that when people pray, the outcome is so often greater than the sum of the parts. People not quite sure what they're praying for, not quite sure whether God might work, wondering whether they've got enough faith. A whole bunch of people gathering together, calling upon God, and God is pleased to answer. What a remarkable thing. And pray. And when we pray, says Paul, we need to be open to the Spirit of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times. It's kind of interesting, isn't it, that phrase, to pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the go-between between human beings and God. He is the connecting bridge between heaven and earth. And if there is to be any kind of traction, any kind of connection between our praying and God, well, we need to be praying in the Spirit. And it suggests that it's possible to pray in a way that's not in the Spirit, to simply use language, to simply talk, and to do so with our own ingenuity and our own energy. Prayer is not simply clever words that are brought to God. Prayer is not simply saying a lot in a prayer meeting. It is saying things to God in the power of the Holy Spirit. I told the story before. It's familiar one, that the story of a great old prayer called Praying Hyde, John Hyde, who had a reputation for being a prayer. And a man came to him and said, "Will you teach me to pray?" And said, "Yes, come to me at a certain hour tomorrow and you can observe me praying." He came to John Hyde's house at the appointed hour, and John Hyde sat him next to him, and the man said, I sat for 15 minutes and nothing happened. And then another 15 minutes and nothing happened. 45 minutes and nothing happened. An hour and nothing happened. And then John Hyde began to pray. And he said, I'd never really heard anyone pray like that before. It's almost as if it was like in the days of dial-up internet. Do you remember dial-up internet? When you had that kind of frustrating feeling that you wanted to kind of be connected, but it just seemed to be too difficult to connect because of dial-up. I know that broadband can be like that too. And it's almost as if John Hyde was dialing up. He was tuning his heart. He was getting in the receptive mode. He was getting in the zone, and then he prayed. Pray in the Spirit at all times. I think what Paul is trying to say is that our prayers are often more effective. In fact, they are always effective when they don't really begin with us. They begin with God. And the way that we can ensure that our prayers begin with God, that we are linked to God by the Holy Spirit, that the connection is there, so that our prayers are being guided by God, so that the outcomes can be guided by God too. Tim Keller gives us a picture of prayer in the life of a Christian. He likens prayer to being in a boat which can be rowed or sailed. And he asks the question, are you sailing? And that might bring to mind a Rod Stewart song, but please get that out of your mind for a moment, although I did raise the matter. Are you sailing? Are you sailing in prayer? And for Keller, sailing in prayer means that the Christian life is a life lived with the wind at your back. The wind of God, the Spirit of God at your back. God is real in your heart. You often feel his love. You see prayers being answered, and you see God at work through your life. Are you sailing? Are you sailing in prayer? It doesn't seem as though all the effort is yours. The power, the traction comes from another place. Jesus spoke, didn't he, about how the Holy Spirit is like the wind. We don't see it, but we do feel its impact. Is the wind of the Spirit of God on your back as you pray? Are you being guided along? Are you sailing? The second picture that Kim Keller uses is rowing. Are you rowing? And Keller says that when we're rowing, prayer is more of a duty than a delight. We still pray. We still go through the exercises of prayer, but it's a duty rather than a delight in God. It's something that we feel we must do. We've got to fit this in. If this doesn't happen, something dreadful will happen to us. We really must do this, a duty, maybe even a slavish bondage. Are you rowing? Now, if you're rowing, it may well be that you don't see many of your prayers answered. You're struggling with doubts about God. You wonder whether God is interested. You wonder whether God is love. You continue to read the Bible and pray regularly. You attend worship and you serve people, even though inside there is a growing spiritual dryness. Are you rowing? We see that there is a certain momentum in a boat with rowing, but it's not as quick as when the wind fills the sails and drives the boat along. Are you rowing? Has everything just become a little bit too much work, too much for you? Or are you, I've gone far too far. Are you drifting? Drifting, says Keller, means experiencing all the same things as rowing, yet in a situation where we begin to drift. There's spiritual dryness and difficulties in our lives, but instead of rowing, we let ourselves drift. You don't feel like approaching and obeying God. You don't want to read the Bible and you don't want to pray. You give in to self-centeredness. You begin to feel sorry for yourself and you begin to drift into self-indulgent behaviours. Comfort eating, comfort sleeping, habits that are self-destructive. Are you drifting? Are you drifting, just drifting along? Been in Mississippi, made me think of Huck and Finn, just drifting down the mighty Mississippi River. Are you drifting? Or are you, perhaps worse, sinking? If we allow ourselves to drift, we get into waters that are choppy and dangerous to our souls, and we begin to sink. We lose any forward motion, and we suddenly go down. Our hearts become numb, and so numb that they become hard. We kind of wonder whether there's a God at all, and whether prayer and church and Bible reading are really all they're cracked up to be. Are you sinking? Four images that I found very helpful: sailing, rowing, drifting, sinking. Where are you? Where are you on those four images? Where are you? Well, I guess we all want to be sailing, but maybe if we're honest, we're in some of the other categories and we need to refocus. We need to refocus with delight and with the freedom of the Holy Spirit in talking to our Father, that we might re-engage with him and reignite our spiritual passion. Delight yourselves in the Lord, the psalmist says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. There is a lightness in the spirit of those that delight in God, a lightness that allows them to sail. Sail by the power of the Holy Spirit and have freedom to talk to the living God. Again, Corrie ten Boom, what wings are to the bird and sails to a ship, so is prayer to the soul. When we are free to talk to God, we connect with the great giver. We connect with the great heart. We connect with the one who is good for us, eternally good for us. But of course, if we're going to pray, says Paul, we need to persevere in this. Now, sailing, we said it's having the wind in your backs, but it's also holding on to the ropes. It's holding on to the tiller. It's seeing where the wind is going and making sure that we're catching the wind and being taken in the direction that we want to go. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers, says the apostle. Persevere. And the words that he uses are the words that we think of at this Easter week, Jesus in Gethsemane, coming back to his sleeping disciples and saying to them, watch and pray. Those are the words he uses. Be alert, watch and pray. Keep at it. Keep attending. Keep disciplined. Keep praying. And the words he uses to pray and to bring our requests are not just to ask, but to plead. And to plead with God actively. Praying is not simply asking once, it's asking. It's seeking. It's knocking, says Jesus. Sometimes it's pleading with God. Jesus tells the story of the widow. The widow who knocks hard upon the judge's door until she's answered, with bleeding fists knocking on the door in order that she might be heard. To talk about prayer as sailing is not to suggest that necessarily prayer is easy. There is some perseverance. Jesus, in Gethsemane, when he prayed, he prays so earnestly that he sweat, as it were, drops of blood, almost busting a gut, almost busting a blood vessel in earnestly seeking his Father. Perseverance. But also, creativity is required when we pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Creativity and imagination. How can I pray for this situation? How can I pray for this person? How can I pray for this place? Imagination and creativity. It's very important for us to exercise those when we're praying. We think about ourselves. If I was in that situation, what would I like people to be praying for me? If I was in that place, what would I be wanting people to pray for me in that place? If I was facing this particular situation, what would I want people to be praying for me? Well, Lord, help me imaginatively to pray those things for those people. Prayer is one of the ways that we love our neighbour as ourselves. As we pray for people, we love people enough to ask God to be at work in their lives and to bless them. That involves a bit of planning. Now, I've mentioned to a few people over the years the value of an app called PrayerMate. And a few people in the church have used that. It's a simple app. It's a free app you can get for an Apple phone or an Android phone. And it's really nicely organized so that you can have biblical prayers, prayers about the world, prayers about your family, your church, your friends. Some people are in both those categories, church and friends. But it's so it comes up in a relatively random way. All of the things on your list will kind of come up so that over a few weeks you'll be praying for all the things that you've inputted. You can add new things as perhaps situations change, as new things need to be prayed for. And I've found in the last couple of years since using it that it's helped me not to drift in prayer. It's helped me to stay a little bit more focused and to remember that when I say to someone, I will pray for you, I will. So if I now say to someone, I will pray for you, I put that prayer request in the prayer app. And it comes up. It's kind of interesting when it comes up. Sometimes it kind of comes up at a certain point and you kind of think, wow, how amazing it is that we're praying for them at this moment. And then sometimes I will say, having prayed for that person, I'll send them a message and I'll say, I prayed for you today. What can I pray for you during the coming week or so? Just, I forget things. Just ask Anne. I forget things. And it's really important to find ways to remind ourselves, imaginative and creative and generous for all the saints. For all the saints, this keeps prayer from fuzzy generalities. It makes it very focused as we think about praying for all God's people. Praying for God's people in the church, everyone, not just the people you know, not just your friends, but seeking to pray for everyone. And of course, we've got a membership list, and one of the ways that we can pray for all the saints at Lansing Tab is to pray through the membership list. That's one thing you could do. Just log on and look at the list and pray for each individual on a regular basis. What a great blessing that would be. But praying for Christians in other churches and praying for Christians in other countries to remember what God is doing in the world. And this is one of the ways that we can strengthen our relationships with each other. If we pray for people, it develops our concern and love for people. And it's amazing when people say to us, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. What a wonderful bond that is. What a wonderful encouragement it is. And of course, this is deeply personal. It comes down to the point where Paul says, pray for me. Pray also for me. Now, he's prayed for them. He records two great prayers in Ephesians that he prayed for them. But Paul is saying here, I am an apostle. I pray for people, but I need people to pray for me. There is no one who doesn't stand in need of prayer. We all need to be prayed for. And the apostle is saying, I need prayer. Please pray for me. Pray also for me. Asking for prayer keeps us all at the same level, doesn't it? It says, yeah, you need prayer. You need prayer. I need prayer. Paul needs prayer. I need prayer. And he prays for a great strategic priority in his life. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Every preacher who has had the opportunity to stand up and speak for God knows that there's so much going on. There's so much going on in their own life and in the lives of everybody in the congregation. There's a lot of things whirring around in your mind now. There's the dynamic of God wanting to speak to you. There's the dynamic of the devil wanting to snatch the words from you. There's the dynamic of your distractions. So many things. What a valuable moment we have when we meet together on a Sunday. What God can do in an hour or so to shape us and reshape us by his grace. Paul is saying, when I get the opportunity to speak, please pray for me that it will be a moment of clarity and a moment of effectiveness that will not be intimidated but might speak freely. Pray for me, says Paul. Pray for me, says John. Pray for me. There's one or two people I know who pray for me and a whole bunch of other pastors they know every Saturday evening. They pray that God will be at work in their churches and through their preaching. We believe in preaching. We believe in devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. And therefore, we need to pray for that to happen. And of course, Paul praying, asking them to pray, also reminds us of the complexity of life. Pray for me. I am an ambassador in chains. Now, it's a strange phrase, isn't it? An ambassador in chains. Julian Assange has just been released from, or rather arrested in the Ecuadorian embassy. an embassy gives a certain protection. An ambassador has diplomatic immunity. There are things that they can do and get away with it. They're normally protected from the law. But Paul says, I'm an ambassador. It's an honourable term, yet I am not experiencing all the diplomatic immunity. I'm in chains. I'm an ambassador in chains. It's an honourable title, an ambassador. I'm an ambassador for Christ, but I am in chains for following Jesus. But even in chains, pray that I will be free and fearless in making known the gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe most of our prayers in some way are like this, aren't they? We come to God and we say, I'm experiencing limitations. I'm experiencing restriction. Somehow my life has been reduced. Somehow my life has become more complicated. Please, Lord, give me some freedom, some breathing space, some way through this particular situation. So many of our prayers are like that. I'm in a corner, get me out. I'm being squeezed, just allow me to get through. I feel my life is being reduced. Bring me to a broader place. I'm an ambassador in chains. It's kind of ridiculous, really, isn't it? I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ, yet I'm in chains in a Roman cell. Lord, please still work. Pray for me also that I might be fearless in proclamation. At the end of Acts 28, we read these words. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Still imprisoned, house arrest, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. That's how Luke ends the Acts of the Apostles. Pray for me also. And here we see the answer to prayer. He is as bold as a lion, and the gospel is not hindered. In fact, in the very next letter, Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, we're told that in the imperial guard, there are many of the soldiers who had been converted. Reminded me of the Christian Watchman Nee, Chinese Christian, the early part of the 20th century, imprisoned for his faith in communist China, because he was such a bold preacher of the gospel. Yet, when guards were literally chained to him, Watchman Nee spoke about his saviour, and again the guards were converted, so they had to change the guards. Of course, that was not a good strategy, because that was another congregation to preach to, and the guards just got saved one after another. It's a reminder, isn't it? Pray for the persecuted church. How can the church that has to meet in secret in China and the Arab world, how can the Christian church, many of whose leaders have been imprisoned, how can they be free in terms of proclaiming the gospel? Well, here is a reminder, they can be. God can use them even in those circumstances for his grace. Remember to pray for the persecuted church. Pray that the Father will give great freedom and boldness to make known Jesus, that might melt the hearts of their accusers. I told you the story before of the man who was a student at LBC in Riga. He had been a censor for the Latvian government during Soviet times, and he was in the department of censorship of religious material, and he read the religious material that came across his desk. Now, quite wonderfully, this man, reading this material, became convinced that there was a God, that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus had died for his sins, and this man, through reading the material in the censorship office of the Soviet Union, became a Christian. And I had the privilege of teaching him at LBC because he wanted to become a preacher of the gospel too. There are no impossible situations. There are no tight bends that God cannot either use us in or get us through. Pray also for me. So Jesus is calling to us, and he's saying to us, are you connected to me? In your prayer life, are you sailing, rowing, drifting, or sinking? Just connect. Call upon me. Open your heart to me, and I will come to you. I will come to you. That's what he promises. Pray. After the service, there'll be people available to pray. Maybe you want to go and ask for help in your own praying. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you and thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence and to call upon your name. We thank you for this great privilege of vertical communication with you, the living God. And we pray that you will give us greater freedom to talk to you with the wind of the Spirit on our backs, the sails of our lives full, moving us toward you and moving us forward. Father, keep us from the duty of simply rowing or the danger of drifting or the disaster of sinking. Help us to sail in prayer by your grace, to enjoy you, to enjoy your presence and your favor, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.